Welcome to today's Public Safety Special Edition magazine. I'm Randy Van. My guest is Newton Fire Marshal Jacob Halfordy. Jacob, thanks for spending time with us today. Talk a little bit about what your job as a fire marshal here in Newton entails.
Absolutely. Happy to be here, Randy. So I have a few assignments under my title here for the fire department. The biggest one, what most people probably know the fire marshal for, is for the commercial building inspection program. With that, it's mainly just making sure buildings are safe or certain fire appliances are working safely, like your fire alarm panels, your sprinklers, and making sure extinguishers. And some places may have more hazards than others, so making sure they're stored correctly. Other jobs, I do a lot of our prevention and education. October is a big month for that. That's Fire Safety Month. Getting with kids. Recently, we had a big push for installing a bunch of smoke and CO alarms. Okay. So that took up about a week and a half of my time, is doing it nonstop during the day. I do the fire investigations also. So when we have fires, we'll investigate them, see if it's a criminally based one, if it was an arson set fire, if it's accidental, that kind of stuff, and then talk with the insurance companies. I also oversee our fleet here at the fire department. So schedule repairs, if it's anything we can do in-house, I try to repair it, keeping up on the maintenance of that stuff, and then also oversee the hazmat team.
Okay. When did you join the Newton Fire Department?
I joined back in 2016, actually, as a part-time firefighter EMT. In 2018, they offered me a full-time spot as a paramedic at that point. And so I've been with them for about 8 years, and then in August of 23, I promoted up to the fire marshal position.
What prompted you to decide to join the fire department?
A lot of it was my dad. He had been a volunteer firefighter along with his many other duties.
Okay.
I joined the Mingo Volunteer Fire Department when I was 16. That was back in 2010. I never thought of it much more than just a volunteer opportunity.
Yeah.
I was actually looking at law enforcement mainly for a while. I went and got my EMT certification to help my agency because I knew it was a need, and ended up just loving taking care of people in that manner. So I progressed through a couple other part-time places, went to paramedic school, and ended up getting the full-time spot here at Newton, and I have no intent to go anywhere else.
Good deal. People really don't understand the commitment it takes to be a volunteer doing these small towns.
No. Our country would not survive without volunteer firefighters. I highly encourage anyone listening to this, if you live in an area with a volunteer fire department, to go help them out any way you can. You don't have to be a firefighter, and you don't have to be an EMS person, but you have to kind of be one of them. You know, if you just want to take care of people, they will take people who want to go through the EMT certification. And if you want to fight fires, they'll put you through the fire certification stuff. But our volunteers need more help.
Yeah, now before, some of the volunteers had to come up to pay for those certifications themselves. But now there is some sort of program that some of them are able to help the individual with, right?
Yep. I'm not sure of all the details. Yeah. I know the county was able to get some money for funding an EMT class. And I believe how it's working is people are coming from sponsoring agencies, so the volunteer fire departments in the county.
Yeah.
If as long as you're part of one of those agencies, that agency will probably have to pay for the initial part of it. But once that person completes the EMT class, then the county will refund the fire department for that cost.
Again, we're talking to Newton Fire Marshal Jacob Halfordy. You have any calls, you know, that pop up to your head whenever you think back on your career?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there's plenty. I don't like to go in details of them because it is private information, but I can give some broad descriptions of certain things. And if you're around firefighters or EMS personnel long enough, the calls we talk about that we maybe get us excited, unfortunately, tend to be bad days for people, whether it be significant car accidents, trauma calls, house fire, stuff like that. That's also what we're trained for. So when we get to do what we've been waiting to do, it kind of gets us excited. I can think of several car accidents where we need to do some technical extrication to get people out. A big one was the pileup on the interstate in 2021, I believe, that shut down the interstate in February. I was on that. You know, we cut a couple people out of cars that day. And it was crazy, the amount of wrecked and mangled vehicles. There's only two people transported by ambulances between those. I've had plenty of significant medical calls, you know, whether it be like a cardiac arrest situation, someone suffering from a heart attack or a rhythm, that you make the change for them. You help them out and you get them to the hospital where they need to go. And, I've had some house fires too, where they have not been easy ones to fight. So you're actually having to work to get stuff done. You get into some compromising situations, but you work through it.
as you go around town, I talked to one of the police officers, and he says, you know, when he was on patrol, he passes places and, you know, comes to mind as something that happened there. Does that kind of happen to you every once in a while?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of my early career in firefighting EMS was with Colfax and Mingo. That's where I kind of started out. And for the most part, once you get into Jasper County, I've probably had a call for almost every mile marker.
Wow.
Probably even to Kellogg's side of it, even past it. But we've had, you know, some sort of accident happen along there. We'll go by medical or houses we've had medical calls in, or houses we've had fires in. You know, so a lot of houses may not be here anymore. Yeah. You'll go by intersections where you've had car accidents and stuff like that.
Now, you guys are getting a new ladder truck, right, here soon?
Yes. From what we know, it should be here in the summer, or just past the summer of 2026 is when that ladder truck will be showing up. But what's actually more exciting is we have, we ordered two ambulances last year, and we were told the first one was going to show up at the end of this year. We're actually getting the first one in April of this year, and that could move a little bit. Yeah. And the second one will be at the end of the year, so they're able to really get our newer ambulances here pretty quick for us.
How old are the ones that they're going to be replacing, do you know?
The first one is actually 2010.
Okay.
And that's actually been a pretty good truck for us. But when you're in the emergency field, it wears and tears on cars. Like, police typically get rid of patrol cars around 90 to 100,000 miles. Yeah. This truck has 200,000 miles on it. It's handled it well, but it's shown its age. I mean, it's a 14-year-old truck that, you know, the term rode hard, put away wet. You know, that's been that truck for its career. Yeah. Then the next one would be replacing a 2016. The 2016 will keep as a spare ambulance. But the 2010 will be going down the road.
Of course, these things aren't cheap. That's why you have some of these, some that are a little older, because, you know, city budgets are tight.
Well, unfortunately, we actually, we had an ambulance catch fire last year that totaled it.
Wow.
So we're in kind of a rougher spot, because we would have had I want to say that was a 2019 ambulance, but that one went out of service because it got caught on fire and was totaled. But I know our ambulances, these are not fancy ambulances like you see in some metros. These are regular, like, Ford Econoline ambulances, but they're $330,000.
Yeah.
And that has some equipment with it, but not all the equipment that goes in the ambulances. But we do get, you know, this one's a 2010 we're getting rid of, so we've gotten 14 years of service out of it. And we try to keep them around 9 years of service and let them be a reserve for a few years. But obviously that schedule's been screwed up a little bit.
If someone's interested in, you know, being a firefighter or an EMT, what kind of training, how long does training take, and what's the process maybe to start to look into that?
Well, the first thing I would say is give us a call and come schedule to do just a job shadow or a ride-along. Okay. See what kind of stuff you like about it. I'd be happy to sit with you and explain a lot of the career options. If someone wanted to come get hired by Newton, you have to be 18, have your high school diploma, and then you have to have your EMT certification. That's kind of the basic to get in the door. So whether you're on a volunteer department who will help sponsor you for it, or you put yourself through the class, I want to say it's $1,500 or so, I think. It's a one-semester class, and that's your minimum to get hired through us. Okay. Once you work for us, we have some certifications you have to get within a few years. So you'd be going to paramedic school, which is the next level above, well, two levels above EMT. And then there's some fire certification classes we can do in-house, but there's plenty of opportunities to learn those elsewhere. And that's Firefighter 1 and Firefighter 2.
Okay. And there's always a need for personnel.
There's always a need. Our city council has supported us pretty well. We're fortunate to have the staffing we do. And they're very good. So if we have someone, we actually have a gentleman who is has put in his resignation because he's going to be a full-time missionary.
Oh.
We can't really convince him otherwise. He's got a pretty good
that's a pretty good
support
call
all the other way.
Yeah.
So they're already supporting us, so we know when his end date is, and it's in a couple months. They're going to let us hire someone a month before he leaves. That way, we can get them trained. And pretty much when he'd go off crew, this person would go right on to crew and be trained up and ready to go.
Okay. Well, Jacob, anything else you want to say about your job here as a fire marshal or the department in general?
Honestly, I really enjoy this job. I didn't think it'd be something so early in my career I'd get to, but the opportunity presented itself and they took a chance with me. I'm learning something every day. There's a lot of knowledge within the fire marshal position. There's lots of codes you have to follow for certain inspections along with reviewing new buildings. But every day I get to learn something new, and I'm fortunate that I'm still able to go run calls with the guys as needed. You know, if they're needing help, I'll be going on the ambulance with them or meeting them at the fire scene to do what needs to get done to help protect the citizens of Newton.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Anytime.
That is Newton Fire Marshal Jacob Halferty joining us on today's Public Safety Special Edition magazine.